Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on On Point. I'm your host, Jimmy Trey. And with me, our illustrious co-host, Dr. James Moore. How are you today?
Good morning, sir. You were too kind, too kind. How was your week?
Not bad, not bad, not bad. It was challenging, but with our challenges, we never know what we're made of, right?
Right.
Absolutely true.
And here we have on board with us Lady Treese. Thank you for having being here with us again today. Lady Treese, how are you?
I'm good, and you? Thank you for having me on board.
Great, great, great. That's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Well, today we're going to introduce some of our guests. We have with us Miss. Hold on just a second. I'm sorry, I'm having a little bit of difficulty with my line. My apologies. Okay, can you hear me? My apologies. We were having a little bit of technical difficulty. We have with us Miss Kenya Perkins.
Hello, how are you guys?
Okay, how are you feeling? And we have also with us Ghazi Muhammad.
Yes, good morning, Kenya. Brother. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on. Yes, sir.
Thank you. We're having a little bit of difficulty with our sound, so I apologize if it's coming across as a slight delay, but we'll work through that. And Calafiri, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, Kalfani.
Kalfani, thank you. My apologies.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to just get right in. Today, our title is called It's Just a Crab in Me. And it's on the... We've all come across that point where we know someone, we've seen someone, we're familiar with those people who actually work diligently to succeed at something, and make something strong of themselves. Yeah. And then in every community, the idea is to make others, empower others to be as successful for whatever it is they want to do. But there are circles, and we could point them out, and it's not just a black and white thing. But since I'm of a darker hue, I can relate to this specific ethnicity in African American community, and even in Latino or Hispanic community, it's the same thing. We don't empower those that are not quite there. I mean, we have people that make it, but we don't bring them along. And it's like it's a coveted secret to succeed when people ask for help. And our question today is why? Why is that? How do we overcome selfishness? Selfishness in being able to go forward. That would make not just our lives, not just our community, but our whole world so much better. So, Kenya, and thank you for being here with us today. Have you seen anything to this effect? Have you ever witnessed this? Where we call it that crab in the barrel syndrome. Well, if I can't make it, you can't either.
I would have to say yes, I have. When I started my ministry 5 years ago, I kind of experienced it within, I would want to say, predominantly the smaller African American churches. Really quickly, before I get into this, because of course I'm going to speak on the Bible, but I started Faith Finders Ministries in 2010, where I do group home guidance for young girls. And over time, it became a nonprofit. So, and then I also am the editor of Vogue Magazine, which started in 2014, where I, you know, interview different people with their walks with God and how He's had a hand in their success. So I learned a lot, like I said, when I thought, like, in the churches, they'd be more willing to help out, particularly, like I said, in the smaller African-American churches. It's somewhat of a territorial spirit. It's hard to think of that within the church realm, but it goes on, you know, everywhere, not just, you know, within the four walls. And what I think about quickly is, I know the Bible says, you know, we all have different gifts. And I think it's when we use these gifts and come together as a community, we can be stronger. And it's just like an inspirational speaker. He goes by the name of Trent Shelton. But he had a quote that said, you know, they want you to do better as long as you don't do better than them. So don't be surprised if your success turns friends into strangers, because everyone loves you until you become competition. So I think it's that fear in people. You know, with in their minds, obviously, is if they help you, you may become better and be more successful than them. And like I said, it's similar, like pulling them down to keep them where you are, so you won't prosper or do better. And you know, in the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says that we need to encourage one another and build each other up. And I feel like in these days, you know, this day and age, it's like every man for themselves type of mentality, and we need to break out of that. You know, like I said, it's a territorial spirit, I think, where we don't want others to succeed, instead of acknowledging that God gives us these gifts. And, you know, you too have a gift, and we all need each other. What I don't have, you know, you might have, and vice versa, and we need to break that spirit as a whole.
Correct. I agree wholeheartedly.
True. I need to chime in just a little bit before we go to our next, and thank you so much, Kenya. And I actually concur with pretty much everything you're saying. I think what we have to look at is that in our culture specifically, and this goes on in a lot of cultures, don't get me wrong, my area of research is actually in this area that faced with melanin-driven attitudinal decision-making and its effect on corporate America's human resource practices. And in my research, what I found is that I developed two things. One was called the RF, or the repel factor, and one was called the LF, or the weakness factor. And in both of those categories, the research shows that the strongest repel factor is that held by that of the Black community. In the middle, we have Latinos, Asians, Native Americans, and the weakest repel factor is that of whites or those classified European. And if you flip the chart and talk about the lift factor, meaning those who are willing to help each other, at the bottom of the chart, we find that there are blacks. Moving up, we have whites, classified Europeans, Latino Americans, Native Americans, and Asians at the very top. And it kind of ties into something. I don't know how many of you are familiar with The Paper Sun, but it ties into that. And maybe that's a different topic for a different show. But the point that I'm trying to make with this is I think that in our community, because it's strongest for the repel factor and weakest for the lift factor, is we've actually been systematically trained to repel and not lift each other. And that's something that we've been trained to, because if you go back to, you know, go a few hundred years back in Africa, you look at, like, you know, I mentioned last week the Maadian principles and how everything was about the community, and Trey, you mentioned that. It was about helping everyone. We've been trained not to do that, and that's the long and short of it, is we've been trained not to do that. Kenny, you mentioned getting out of it. We absolutely have to do that.
Right.
Yes, I agree.
The lips factor. There was this, and if you go back, you'll notice that in slavery days, and unfortunately I have to go there for a moment, but back in slavery days, they had the house slave and the field slave, and then they had the barge slave and the barn slave, and they all pitted against each other for acknowledgement. Well, if you got the bad source on your, if you got on the bad source's good side, then whatever the bad source didn't like, you didn't like either, even if it was your own. As opposed to telling your own, hey, this is how you get on the bad source's good side, slave master, as it were, at the time. What they did was they just pitted against each other, and that mentality, in my opinion, has just transcended over time, and now it's a functional part of who we are, unfortunately. And some people have
broken. I agree with you.
You know?
And in the church, it sucks too, because you reminded me how in the churches, you know, I had even, I feel like too, it's a divide as well between the ages, because I know I had some of the elders in the church that, you know, they didn't understand why some of the older women didn't want to partner with me, because they're like, maybe you have something that the youth can adhere to and, you know, that you can help her out with and she can mentor you and help you out. But it was just kind of like you said, that whole, if I can't have it, either can she, and I don't know if she's going to take something from me. And I feel like it's just, I don't know, it's that hindrance there. I don't know what it is among the Black community, since we're touching on that, on just that spirit where you don't want to let anyone in at all, instead of seeing the big picture here.
It seemed like, this is late, I'm sorry, this is Lady Tree speaking. It seemed like, as far as with the Black community, this has been going on for years, and it goes back to history, you know, as far as being in-house Negro or in the field Negro, being mm-hmm. light-skinned to dark-skinned, and it trickled from generation to generation. And all we need is for one person to stand up and be that mega force, be that change. But, I mean, I think it starts with the younger generation. I mean, we got to start mm-hmm. somewhere and help one another, as opposed with the Mexican and Chinese culture. They'll come over here, you know, they will perfect their craft, which is to work and give back, mm-hmm. and then you'll find them back in their countries, giving back to their communities over in Mexico, mm-hmm. Over in Mexico or China or whatever it is. It seems like we just can't work together. It is sad. We're in the same hobby and that's going to help.
Something that I see that they have, and what outside of the stereotype, and please forgive me, that's not my intention, outside of the stereotype, something they have is a stronger sense of family.
Yes.
And you'll see businesses that are constructed. And when those businesses are erected, they have the father, the son, the mother, the nephew, the grandmother, the granddaughter, aunts, brothers and sisters. Their whole family is involved. Well, if you have a broken...
That's the Chinese family business model, Trey.
If you have a broken family...
That's the official name.
Exactly. Oh, thank you kindly. If you have a broken family model, then there's no way for you to think in a family-type manner. When everything is so independent. Ghazi, we haven't heard from you or Kalfani. What is your feel on this? What's your take on this? What do you believe can help correct the situation? Or what have you?
Well, let me say thank you first of all for having me on, Mr. Trey. You know, I've been sitting there listening and, you know, really enjoying the comments that I'm hearing. And I'm glad that we took it back to slave days or back to history. Because the root of it goes back to that time. But not only was it a time where slaves was fighting for recognition, but we're looking at slaves fighting for limited resources. Whether those resources was better clothes or better food or a better place in the master's house, it was limited resources. So what we have here also not only a race issue, but we also have a society that's rooted in the economic ideal of capitalism. And in that type of economic system, unfortunately, it produces a greed-type mentality. The whole system of capitalism is born off the slave trade. And that was a greed, doggy-dog-type economic system where it was based on exploitation. So when you have a system that's where you have limited resources to the people on the bottom, everybody fight and they bang with one another over limited resources. So it's not that I'm hating on you because I don't like you, but somewhere in my mind, I don't believe that God is merciful enough to provide for everybody. I was raised up and bred in a society where I was made to believe that resources are limited. So if you get all the resources or if you get anything, that will leave me out. So because I live in this type of society right here where I was never taught to not only work together, but I was taught to believe that the resources itself is limited. for people on the bottom. The only the rich people gonna have resources, but poor folks ain't got nothing coming. So because of limited resources, I don't want to see your good. And one other factor is cultural continuity. When you look at the Asian community, all the other community, Hispanic community, you know, we here in Phoenix, Arizona, here in the Southwest, what they have is cultural continuity. I mean, they got cultural strength. But we know systematically that was destroyed among blacks coming from slave trade. Of course, we was taught hate our language, hate our culture, the God and everything, and even with the church and the mosque, any religious organization that we have in these organizations, if we still have the white image of Jesus, unfortunately, if we still got the Eurocentric white supremacist idea of religion, then that, even though we're saying Jesus' name, even if we're saying Allah's name or Jehovah or Yahweh, whatever name we're saying, if we still have at the root of that the white supremacist idea right there causes us to hate one another. So when you look at young brothers in the street, when you look at Crips and Bloods who killing each other, and somewhere in their mind they say, I can't stand you, nigga. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. That mindset is being produced from the same educational system that taught the Ku Klux Klan white people were superior to black people. It's the same system that teach black people are inferior, that we are inferior people, that white people are superior, and that has saturated the churches, it's saturated the religious world, it's saturated the social world, the educational world, the cultural world. That idea of the white supremacy is deep. So it puts us on the bottom all the time. And then we take into consideration the Woody Lynch syndrome. You know, we got to all, you know, take that kind of idea into consideration, that the whole thing, you know, someone was saying, I think Kenya was saying how the elders, you know, hating sometimes on the young people, and sometimes young people hating on the elders. Well, Woody Lynch is real. But the idea is not just to articulate and eloquently dissect the problem. Our charge is, how do we come up with a solution to solve the problem? And I'm saying that one of the greatest things is love. You know, like a lot of young people have no self-love. So because I don't love myself and value my own unique gifts and what God has given me, my own unique talents and what God has given me, then I can't see no value in your talent. Because God has given all your talent.
Yeah, that was good. Because he touched on, like I said, I feel like what Paul said in the Bible, we need to focus on love. We need to focus on relationship with God, not religion. Religion, when I hear that, I think of divisions. I think of war. My religion's better. Okay, let's just focus on loving one another and just having that, you know, relationship, I think, with God overall instead of, you know, and I think, like he said, that's what it goes back to, is just love.
Let me
great
change.
Points. Folks, Trey, we have a caller I'd like to bring on for just a moment.
Go right ahead.
Okay. 1098, you're on with On Point. Good morning.
Good morning.
1098.
Well, if
okay,
if
perhaps they'll join us shortly. Yes,
Jake. Kalfani, and before I ask Kalfani, I'd like to, you know, I think something that's missing, and everybody's points are outlandishly valid. I love it, but something that's missing is responsibility, self accountability.
Yeah.
You see, there, I believe everything that was said, but I don't believe it's all a single race's fault that happened. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking it away. That was a negative sign. It's kind of like people try to think away the Holocaust. That really happened. They got it on film. We got it in the history book. You know, wonderful. But they said, no, it couldn't have happened. I said, yeah, okay, that happened. But right now, today, right now at this moment, right now, today, at this moment, you stop and you think, hey, what have you done? What have you contributed? What have you lent toward that young man or young woman that's striving to do better? What positive influence, what positive role did you play in their upcoming, their social strengthening, as it were? What have you done to not perpetuate a negative persona or division inside of our community? And at that point, stop and think, am I accountable? And it's cliche-ish, but they say, am I my brother's keeper? And let me see, how do I say this? Hell yeah. He's your brother. You do keep him.
Because if the question is asked to him, the answer should be exactly the same. You see, I believe that, yes, there were people responsible for things that happened then. But we're living in the now. And in, as in living in the now, we're supposed to push forward for the future, for the to come. And I don't see that happening. You see, when James and I decided that we were going to make On Point, for example, you know, there are people who, I mean, that's not going to work. Yeah, good luck with that, you know. And they were like, well, you know, I don't know, man. It's, you know, that's a lot of work. Well, anything worth having takes work. Hell, the most pleasurable moment on the face of this planet between a man and woman takes work. Everything takes work. Having a child takes work. Eating takes work. Breathing takes work. You know how much your body works just for you to circulate blood? Yes, everything takes work. So for that person listening, that person that's doubting, that person that wants to point a finger to an entire another race, a generation of people way back before us, no. It comes to you, too. Have a degree of accountability, responsibility for the things that you do and the things that you're going to put out for other people to see. What I want to do is I want to project a positive image to show that I'm not just another black individual. I'm a man that happens to care about his community, that happens to care about the families next to me, that happens to care about my fellow men, that happens to care about my friends, that happens to care about those people in the church, in the masjid, in the citadel. It doesn't matter. I'm
Trey,
a man.
I think you're making some valid points, brother, and I appreciate those. I think, too, you know, a lot of us have come up with valid points. I think the thing that, and forgive me if someone has touched on it, but I don't recall anybody using the word courage. And I think that's part of it, because nowadays I honestly believe that people are afraid to step up and say what needs to be said for fear of retribution or the fact that they think someone might become recalcitrant or combative with them, and now they have to do battle. Well, you should have to do battle. If I see a young man dressed inappropriately or treating a young woman inappropriately, I should have the courage to walk up to him and say, hey, young man, that's not the way we operate. That's not professional. That has nothing to do with the community. That's not us. And I think that's one of the chunks that's missing, because when's the last time you've seen somebody else castigate or chastise somebody else's kid? Nowadays we're afraid of, well, if I say something, the parent's going to get upset with me. Okay. But if that kid's out there doing something by himself, or if that young man or young lady just needs a little bit of guidance, you have the courage to step up and say, hey, don't tell them necessarily that they're wrong, but say, hey, let me show you another way.
There you go.
And I think that's a good way to open it or ask them the question. Here's what my mentor used to always tell me. He said, help me to understand, and then you feel at rest, you know, why this occurred or why you're doing this or why this is happening. But the moment that you say, help me to understand, you diffuse the situation and open the door for dialogue, and you take the combativeness off the table, and you allow that recalcitrance to fade.
Yes.
Kalfani, I really would like to hear from you. I know that you have something resting in there. Would you like to share it with us as well? What are your feelings? What do you feel about this? Did we lose him?
Kalfani, you with us? Okay, it looks like Trey, he's either dropped or can't hear us.
Okay.
You know, I'm glad we had this conversation today, Trey, because I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. And once again, going back to the courage thing, I think a lot of people have fear of having this conversation, because now we have to look at stuff. And it's like that guy that says, I don't want to go to the doctor, they might find something wrong with me. True, but if you don't go, there may be something wrong that just festers and gets exacerbated, and then it's too late. So I think that this is a conversation that not only needs to be had, but has to be readdressed on a regular basis so it's not forgotten.
Right, and see, the thing about... Go ahead, Gazi.
I was just going to say, you know, just to add to what our brother was saying about young people and castigating or chastising young people when you see them wrong. See, the flip side of that is that as a community, when we see our young boys doing right, we don't come together as a community to encourage them and to support them and back them in doing something that's right.
Yeah.
You know, we don't serve them like that because we too have stereotypes of Lil Pookie and Pee Wee and Jonesburg now, so we look at them like they are. Even those, some of us who in the religious community, whatever, you know, we think sometimes if you see the little brother sagging, we too have this stereotype that he a thug or he a hoodlum or something like that. So oftentimes, not only should we respond when they do something wrong, but we also should look at them and encourage them and support them and back them when they're doing something right. And that right there builds up that camaraderie and that kind of love, that type of relationship that someone spoke about earlier between ourselves and our young people. When you can look at and see beyond the saggy pants and the foul language and things like that and go right, I'm what the Bible says, I'm going to look past your faults and look at your needs. You know, so I'm going to look past all that, and I'm going to look at your needs and try to support that and encourage that. At the same time, have the courage to stand up and check you when you're out of line. But also, I want to show you that I love you when you're doing something right. I want to support you and back you. And sometimes that love itself can soothe a savage beast. You can be mad as hell, but if you know a person loves you and they got your back, that person right there, you're at least likely to respond to in a negative way or a combative way because you know that person loves you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I agree.
That's a great point.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate everyone's input. On what James said, the conversation has to be had. We have to create a dialogue, and with our elders, with our youngsters, with those that don't look like us, because at the end of the day, you're just like that other female. You're just like that other male. You know, a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl, man's a man, a woman's a woman. That melanin or lack thereof is inconsequential. It's not relevant. And you're in the hospital and you're bleeding out. They don't say, excuse me, we need A positive Jewish blood, please. No, they don't do that. They don't go like, oh, yeah, we need a Eurocentric style of blood, please. A, B positive. They don't do that. They just say, hey, we need blood. And the fact that everybody on the face of the earth shares it, that says that you're more unified than you know. Then you're giving yourself credit for it. And that's what we have to focus on. That's exactly what we have to focus on.
And I think, Trey, as one of my brothers earlier mentioned, that competition and that that open competition, the competitive market, the capitalism, that took a lot of that away because that changed our perspective. If you think about it, 400 or 500 years ago, there was no capitalism in Africa. It was all about community. It was all about the principle. And I think that was systematically stripped away. And I'm going to just touch on this real quick, and we can bring this up in another episode, but if you look at all the communities that come from other places, the majority of them have secondary languages. We don't. That was taken from us. So I think along with that and everything else that's stripped out, that's part of the systematic destruction of those cultural perspectives that we held that we have to put back in place. Brother Trey, I'm going to ask you for some final thoughts and to take us out, and we'll be seeing everyone next week.
Yes, it's going to come today. We appreciate that. We appreciate your input, everything you said. Raise your glasses. Remember every thought, every idea.
You're breaking up.
On point.
We can't hear you, Trey.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
It's okay. I got it. You know, folks, we appreciate everyone joining us this week. We'll have to keep this conversation going. We look forward to hearing from you all again. Perhaps we can get together and continue this conversation. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll see everyone next week.
All right. Thank you for having me. Great
thank
talking
you.
With all of you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.